What Floats Your Bubble? A podcast dedicated to aeration and industrial blower technologies from Atlas Copco USA.
Welcome to the August edition of the What Floats Your Bubble podcast, a podcast dedicated to the aeration and industrial blower technology in the United States. Here we pick a topic every month with some of our subject experts, and we delve in, we discuss the pluses, discuss the benefits, discuss some of the downfalls of it. And the key thing, as we always say, is that not here to make a decision one way or the other, just here to debate the topic. So we're full up to nearly full capacity today. We've got four people joining me. So very familiar faces or names, I should say. We have Paul Peterson, Eric Dorsey, Gatlin Cold, and Leanne. So good afternoon, panel. How are we doing?
Great, Paul. How are you?
Now, in the planning for this one, super exciting. We're here today to talk about the importance of filtration inside blower applications. And a couple of times in this podcast, we've drawn the analogy of our products to cars when it comes to control panels and connectivity. And perhaps for filters, it's not a bad parallel to draw too, because in many aspects, everyone focuses on the technology, everyone focuses on the actual equipment that they need. And then when it comes to filters, that can be a little bit of an afterthought. Does it really matter? Does it make a difference? And filtration in terms of air quality, reducing pressure drop, and helping to keep your energy on track is one of the most key areas of the application. So we've got a few different topics to discuss around filters. And so, Leanne, I'm going to come to you first, if I could. So one of the questions that we get asked a lot as an organization is there's washable filters out there on the market. So just in simple terms, explain to us what it means. I guess it's fairly obvious, but just to make sure we're all on the same page, and just explain to some of your experience when it comes to these washable filters.
I think the concept behind washable filters sounds great in theory. You know, you don't have to have replacement parts. You just, when the filter is showing signs of age, or you're seeing a pressure drop on a gauge, I'm going to take it out, rinse it off, let it dry, and put it back. What people fail to realize is that what you're doing is, once you're washing it, you're moving the dirt, dust, particulate, whatever, from the clean side or from the dirty side to the clean side. Once you add water to dirt, you get mud. When mud dries, and then you provide apply a vacuum, basically, as you're sucking air through, in this case, a blower, you're pulling that mud through the filtration element itself, opening the holes. You're losing your effectiveness, and you're pulling all that dirt that you're trying to keep out of your equipment straight in through your system.
Mm. Well, absolutely, and I think as I talked about at the start there, and Paul Peterson, I'll ask you on this question if I could, that of course filtration, its number one purpose and what we think about is of course keeping the particles out that we don't want to get into the equipment, but filters play a huge role in terms of energy efficiency too. Just talk us through that.
Yeah, that's absolutely true, Paul, because the pressure drop across a clean filter is designed to have a minimal impact on your system. Every PSI you add in pressure drop across that filter is going to have a significant increase in your blower's energy consumption. So as a general rule of thumb, it tends to scale that the pressure drop across a dirty air filter in a blower is going to cost you enough in energy after 1 month of operation on that dirty filter to pay for the cost of the filter itself. So the idea of saving money on washable filters is a bit illogical in itself, in that what you make up in savings of a few hundred dollars a year, you're going to actually spend more on your energy bill because of it.
Hmm. Very good. And then Gatlin, just keeping on that theme, if we could, you know, when like with everything, you know, when we talk about consumable parts, if you like, for mechanical equipment, I mean, there's a huge kind of cost versus quality debate. Just explain that to us a little bit when it comes to filters. I mean, it's another market where, in essence, you get what you pay for. Is it fair to say?
Yeah, 100%, Paul. I mean, the higher quality filter you have, the less worry you have about the cost of it damaging your equipment that's not designed to be replaced. I mean, it's the same theory as a coupling, for instance. You know, if your motor is driving something and it hits something really hard, then that coupling is designed to break. That way you don't end up breaking your motor. Well, it's the same with the filter. It's designed to be replaced so that you don't have to end up replacing the more expensive parts like your air end or element of whatever equipment you may be driving. So
that's a really good example, actually, and a good analogy. And Eric, just completing our kind of discussion around the virtual round table here and on a similar thought, as we were prepping for this, you know, you talked to me a little bit about often when you're talking with customers that replacing filters can be a little bit of an afterthought. And so just explain, you know, that to me, if you could. And then is there ways to understand if your filter needs cleaning or if it's not performing outside of the kind of traditional exchange interval, let's say, that you have?
Yeah, so as everyone's already said, you know, the air impacts a number of different factors and the elements regarding the performance, the efficiency, and the durability of the system. The easy thing about a filter is, though we have recommendations for replacing the filters, it's as easy as just checking the filter. You always want to check it on a routine basis. I would say monthly, just to check the differential pressure gauge and also just the look of the filter. You always want to replace it at least 2,000 hours of use, which is pretty typical. But in dirty environments, you want to make sure that you change it a little bit more frequently.
And I think another analogy that, as we were talking to, that I can definitely associate with, you know, we all have to replace our HVAC filters regularly. And I think if you're a month or a few weeks behind on that, you can certainly see what's left. And I think you feel the air quality. And dare I say as well, that is a perfect example for anyone trying to perhaps draw comparisons about filtration. That, you know, I'm not saying that, of course, there are all sorts of different price points if you go in a Home Depot. And I think there is another perfect example where you really get what you pay for. You know, if you have the very, very cheap ones that are paper thin, I mean, you can really feel that air quality difference. And actually, just to finish the story, you know, we've got one of those simple air purifiers at home that we use off of Amazon, which does a really nice job. And when the house is in good shape, it's a blue light. And when it's having to do a lot of work, it's an orange light. And the one time that we had those very sort of cheap filters, the orange light was on all of the time, you know, so the cleaning. So perhaps if you don't feel it straight away, you know, it's definitely certainly there. If we maintain that kind of discussion on quality, if you like, and Leanne, I'll come to you. So for going the kind of, if you want the pressure drop, I mean, what are the different types of filters that would typically be available for our kind of range of blowers, and what's the difference in essence?
You know, I think in an industry standard, you see two main types of filters, or three if you include the washable. But you have panel filters, and then you have cartridge filters. Mm-hmm. The panel filters are like what we're all used to, if you know, that you have in your home HVAC system. So it's a something that's understood. We all think, oh, great, this is giving great filtration. And it does for a purpose. But when you're talking about moving the amounts of air and volume and velocity, you're relying on basically a design that as the suction is applied, that's the seal, right? And that it mm-hmm. never, you're relying on that contact to make sure that everything gets caught, doesn't bypass, and stays in the filter, versus a cartridge style filter, which generally is smaller because you have more surface area by design, and you're able to seal a cartridge filter. So you have better surface area contact, it's sealed, and when the machine is sitting idle, you don't have any way to bypass, or if it distorts, like a panel filter can distort with humidity, with heat, with temperature, time, wear, improper installation. But a cartridge filter, you basically are clamping in, bolting in, and you're guaranteeing the sealing surface so that you can't have bypass. And this was something that, you know, I didn't really pay that much attention to prior coming here and getting some experience with high-speed turbo, but that was like the biggest impact I saw on some of the high-speed turbo applications were air bypassing that filter and getting in and really causing a lot of damage and contamination of the elements. And so I think this is kind of an important topic, especially for this market, in understanding that filter isn't just a filter. It's way more than the paper that you're thinking of.
Absolutely. And then Gatlin, maybe I come to you just with carrying on the same theme. I mean, I'm sure that you've been called to one or two applications in your time that have maybe been underperforming, and you've perhaps seen something a bit like Leanne just mentioned, where literally the air is just bypassing the filter completely, and it can have a catastrophic effect on the performance.
Yeah, Paul. I mean, I wish I had pictures of a couple of sites that I've been to. And there was one high-speed turbo site where I don't know what happened at the site, but there was just an enormous amount of bugs, so much so that the impellers on the turbo were actually gooey with the amount of bugs that were getting past the panel filter. And then there's another site when there were, you know, basically a desert inside of the blower because of the sand that was getting past the filter when the blower units were off. So again, the whole sealing structure of the cartridge filter versus the panel filter is something that we've seen as a huge improvement across all of our blower lines. And, you know, one of the main reasons that we try to push the cartridge filter as much as we can, just because we know that it works quite a bit better.
Oh, absolutely. Paul Peterson, just come to you. I mean, again, same as Gatlin, I'm sure you've seen many things in the field. Any stories from your side or anything to add on this debate?
Yeah, I've actually got one from this past summer, and I got called to a customer site, and this actually ties into your story about the humidifier with the warning light. And they said that they're getting a warning light on high inlet differential pressure. And they said, we just changed the filters and the warning light's still on. We can't figure out what's going on. Well, all of the operators at this plant were relatively new. None of them knew that not only did they have the filters inside the machines, but they had installed a pre-filter on the roof. All the machines were piped to a common header, and there was a massive filter room up top. They went on the roof of the building, and there were spider webs and about a half inch layer of dust. They hadn't changed those filters in 3 years. And It goes back to that warning light. The nice thing is we give you these indicators to tell you there's something wrong with the system and it's time to change your filter. The problem becomes if you install two-stage filtration, you have to change both filters. You may be able to go longer intervals, and, you know, maybe change the exterior one every 6 months, the interior one every year, but you still got to maintain both.
Absolutely. And Eric, on this subject, you know, from the product side, let's say, I mean, I think it's fair to say that within Atlas Copco, you know, there's such a big focus on this filtration that we actually have separate division, separate multi-million dollar R&D budget to look at them, because it's not just a bolt-on part to the product. You know, it's a key component by itself. So, Eric, on the product side here, you know, when it comes to, you know, when you're choosing a product and you're looking, I mean, what sort of questions should you ask about filtration? I mean, you shouldn't just say, yeah, it comes with filters, that's fine. So when you're looking at an actual product from the product side, what are the kind of questions, considerations you should look at when it comes to the filters?
So fortunately for us, we've done all that work with our R&D team and our engineering group, to where each filter is designed specifically for that machine type and that machine's operating parameters and performance required. So each machine is outfitted with a filter that will optimize that blower's efficiency.
So we don't, you know, we don't just take three or four technologies. We use different filters across the range, a standard. Is that fair to say? We don't just use one.
Correct. Each blower technology has a number of filter sizes that are fitted exactly for that blower's range.
Oh, very cool. And then, Paul, to come with you, we were chatting again just before we started planning for this. And you know, everyone says, so come on, what is really new? And I love this story. You've got an absolute concrete example of something that we've done, which is sounds very simple, but a lot of research and development went behind it. Tell us about that change.
Yeah, one of the things that we had some early customers here in the USA, and they loved their equipment, but one of their complaints was the service intervals for the air filters were relatively short. And as you mentioned, we invest a lot of R&D, and you know, they're designed for a service interval, and then that light goes off, it's time to change it, and they thought it could be longer. Well, our engineers went back to the drawing board and determined that by extending the length of the cartridge for that blower, you're able to add so much more surface area with all of the paper pleats inside that cartridge by just lengthening about 2 inches. They were able to extend the service interval by 2,000 hours. So that's 3 more months of continuous operation that the blowers can now go without having to change the filter. So it seems a bit simple, make it longer, but a lot of thought has gone into that and a lot of engineering, and we're seeing those results and passing those savings on to our customers.
Oh, absolutely. Really nice example there. Just wrapping up the podcast now, I think we've covered a lot actually in a very short space of time. So let's just maybe do as we always do, summarize around the virtual table, if you like. So Leanne, come to you. You had the first word. We'll give you just about the last word too. So a filter's not a filter, I guess, is the key point.
Correct, Paul. You know, you have not only the style, so washable panel, cartridge, but you also have the media that the filter is using as well. And then, of course, like we mentioned, the way that it is mounted and connected to make sure that you're getting proper sealing. And these are things that people just need to pay a little bit more attention to and not have it be an afterthought.
No, absolutely. And then Gatlin, from your side, the field experience here, as we summarize, I mean, believe me, the few hundred dollars on good filtration and selecting the right one up front, it can save you a lot of heartache in the long term. I mean, your store is there. I mean, mind blowing, but it can really save you a lot of hassle. I mean, to put right that problem you described, A, I'm sure it wasn't quick, and B, I'm sure it wasn't cheap.
Right. I mean, the important thing for people to remember is the filter is the piece that's designed to be replaced, you know, rather than the air and the element, whatever you want to call it, the parts that are a lot harder and more expensive to replace, whereas the filter is relatively cheap and inexpensive and designed to be easy to replace.
Absolutely. And Paul, just from your side, you know, let's just focus a little bit on this sort of pressure drop and what it can do for your for energy efficiency, lack thereof. So, you know, saving, say, a couple of hundred bucks on a filter in terms of inefficient energy usage for a block filter, you could lose that $200 in a week or so. So, I mean, really take care of the filtration if you want to take care of energy efficiency and quality.
Yeah, that's right, Paul. Really, you should be replacing your filters, if at all possible, instead of washing them. And you should always buy the OEM filters from the manufacturer. As we've said a few times, you know, we engineer these things to work specifically for your machine. You can go to Lowe's and Home Depot and buy a cheap filter, but the risk of breakdown and the efficiency of your equipment are going to severely degrade. So really, replace your filters regularly and do it with OEM parts.
And so, Eric, we'll leave the final word to you, you know, when it comes to the product side. So what is the key message when it comes to choosing the right filter for the right blower?
The key point here that we're trying to make is just we've put a lot of time and thought into the selection of our filters. And we think that it's important just to take the OEM's recommended guidance towards the filtration of your air.
Okay, thanks, Eric. Thanks, panel. Really good discussion today. We're coming back next month with the next in our What Floats Your Bubble technology series. But for now, thank you very much for your time. Hope you've enjoyed listening. Please continue to give us your feedback and comments, and we will be back again soon. Thanks, everyone.